Welcome back into episode 2 of the Bonnies Breakaway. Gavin Watson, co-host Ryan Addio here with Mick Giordano, and we have two players with us today, the captains of the team, Seth Hammond and Callum Shillington. How are we doing, boys?
Good,
yeah, I'm good.
No, it's good to be here again. Appreciate you guys, and you know, it's fun, obviously, on a Monday after a good result. Sun's on our backs a little bit heavier, and it makes the warm weather feel that much sweeter. So, no, I appreciate you guys, and excited to be back.
Yeah, I mean, it's all smiles and laughs in here right now. But you got your first A-10 win of the season on family weekend. I mean, come on, just tell me a bit about how much that means to you guys.
Boys.
Yeah, I mean, I think I almost started crying after that game, to be honest. It was just, family was here, and everyone was getting pretty emotional, and when we're in that team huddle after the game, you just look at the guys around you, and it's a different type of feeling. I don't know. Yeah,
I mean, it's first win in A-10. It's huge. My family wasn't there this weekend. They've been here every other weekend, so it's kind of ironic. But
fair enough, yeah.
No, it was a great win. I'm really proud of the guys. So.
And then you were down late in that game, came back to win it 2-1. You know, what was that? You know, what did you guys see out of, you know, George Washington's defense that allowed you to score those two goals back to back?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the first half we played pretty well, but second half, I mean, for the first half and the second half, we were terrible. Probably the worst 20 minutes I think we played all season. But to be able to switch that and create two moments, two goals out of it, that's huge for us, and that's what good teams do. Win, you know, maybe you shouldn't. So, yeah, again, really proud of everyone involved.
No, I'm just looking on the outside of it. You could see we made a couple of adjustments, and the boys kind of took to it immediately and didn't even bat an eye with a couple of things that we adjusted with our shape and trying to exploit a few spaces behind it. And as a staff, we're just really proud and excited for them, the way they could adjust and the way that they just went to go and attack, and they just kept going. It was relentless in the energy of what they did, knowing, you know, yeah, maybe it wasn't our best. We had some small moments that just didn't go our correct way, but like they just continued to keep going. So, you know, we talk about never giving up, and regardless of what's going on, you just make sure you run and you do the work, and they just did that. So really exciting at the end. Could have made it a little bit simpler, but it's exciting at the end for sure.
I mean, I kind of asked you after the game, but resilience, right? Like, how do you keep your head up despite, you know, being down late? You know, you said the worst 20 minutes this entire season. Like, how do you keep your head up, get right mentality to come back in that game?
Yeah, I think honestly it comes down to just trusting each other on the field. I mean, trusting the system, trusting the coaches, knowing that what we're doing is eventually going to pay off. And, you know, there's been times this season where maybe we've gone away from that and then it hasn't gone our way. So I think we've kind of learned our lesson from it. And then now we know when things do go bad, we kind of just keep trusting each other, and eventually things are going to turn around as long as we're putting in the effort that we need to.
Yeah, touching on that, Cal, in the pregame huddles, the word was belief. Throughout the game, that's all we heard was belief. So things went rough, but even in the bad spell, we all believed that we could win the game, and eventually it turned out good for us. So.
In that game, things got, you know, a little chippy here or there. You know, 4 yellow cards for you guys, 2 for them. You've had some games similar to that where things have gotten chippy. You know, for you guys as captains and for you as a coach, how do you, you know, keep a level head, and how do you, you know, kind of keep the calm amongst the team during those chippy games?
I think it's got to start from the staff first and foremost. You know, if we're losing our minds, then more likely than not, it'll be very easily translated over into the guys. So, you know, as much as possible, and we have our moments for sure between the staff, but we've got to make sure that they see us stay as a calm presence, and as long as we're not freaking out, then they can see, like, okay, well, they're not too worried, they're not in a bother, we just have to keep going. And then it's just reminders, but ultimately it comes down to leadership, and it comes down to experience. You know, these two here sitting with us, you know, Gabe and a few of the other experienced guys that have lots of minutes under them, and Kyle McFarlane and those guys that have been there and been in these situations that understand it. It's about them just being able to go and lead, and we're fortunate we've got a good group of leaders, you know, whether you have a title or not, they understand that that doesn't really mean much. All of us are leaders as individuals, and it's being able to just continue to stay composed behind it and stick to our game. And we don't mind some of the hard tackles and whatnot. We've got some pretty strong guys that can take it, but ultimately it's just about how we can continue to stay together and continue to move forward when we have a little bit of a stress put on us or when we are suffering a bit during a game. These guys being able to kind of just continue to keep that composure and then just play through it.
Yes, Seth, here's kind of an inevitable question, I'm sorry, but what was going through your mind on that first goal? Obviously, you're outside the box, you're down one, you're looking to make something happen. Like, what made you pull the trigger on that shot?
Yeah, I mean, it just sat up right. Just one of those, like, the turf, you know, it's not the greatest field in the world, but it's home. And, you know, it bounces up like that, you got to hit it.
I hear you.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I felt, you know, a little adrenaline. Big moment in the game, night game. So yeah, just thought, why not?
Yeah, fair enough. Do you remember the moment? Like, did it feel like slow mo? Was there anything like that?
No, it was pretty fast actually.
All right. Yeah.
There was a defender in front of me, so I had to, you know, wiggle a little bit, but I can slow it down in my mind now.
Right.
I just want to add to it. I know we've touched on it a bit, but it was quite ironic. Both goals, just where they came from. The day before, both Cal and Seth, along with Dean and about eight other of the guys, we had just some extra finishing and just a little bit of fun at the end of it, and we were just hitting some volleys, just have fun with it in the same spot, kind of under the same situation. So it was maybe one of those just ironic moments. Who knows, Seth and Dean maybe just had a little bit of confidence knowing that they'd hit some similar things just 24 hours earlier behind it. But, yeah, it was one of those.
Yeah.
Both goals you just take and you go, we'll take those all day long.
No practice is wasted, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. We asked Mick about, you know, you coming over with him from UNC Asheville. And so I kind of want to ask you a similar question of you know, why did you decide to follow Mick over here to Bahamas? You know, what was it about here that attracted you? Besides, obviously, that he was coming over.
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge, you know, a new conference. It's a step up, and that's what I really wanted. I was in the portal before Mick came to Bonaventure just to see, you know, if I could get a master's degree and see if I wanted to step up and challenge myself. That, you know, didn't work out. But then I was fortunate to get another opportunity with Mick, so super grateful for where I am and my teammates like Callum that have made it so welcoming for me here. So.
Yeah, well, we've asked Seth a lot of questions, so I'll put it to you. You're wearing the captain's armband this year. With a new head coach coming over, having put full trust in you again this year, like, what does that mean for you? What is the new transition type of? I'm trying to think of a word here, but I can't get it out of my head. But just a vet on the team who's seeing a transition period, like getting the captain's band, like what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely means a lot to me. Obviously, in the spring, we had our old assistant coach was kind of like our interim head coach, and we had voted for captains. And I was one of the guys that was lucky enough to be voted by my teammates, and then Mick came in and he kind of changed things up, but just really appreciate that, you know, he came in and still trusted me enough to kind of let me have it, I guess. But it's been great. Mick's come in and brought a lot of energy, and you can definitely tell even the guys that have been here before, like, you know, I mean, just different type of energy. And
yeah.
I mean, it's sweet. Done pretty well so far. Obviously, we've had some ups and downs, but I think moving forward, it's when it comes down to it, like, you know, he's gonna have some more tough conference games, gonna have more challenges, and I think everyone really believes in Mick and what he's doing, and Danny, our assistant coach, and the whole staff, and I think, yeah, everyone's really appreciative of everything they've done, and I think we're gonna do really well moving forward.
Yeah. Coach, no regrets in that choice?
No. Oh, he's continues to repay us time and time again with everything.
Absolutely.
So very fortunate for him and for all of our leaders, but very fortunate for the role, because it's hard. it's hard to be a leader of your peers, and it's hard to be able to be that guy that sometimes has to be the bad guy behind it, or you have to call people out, and it's never an easy thing to do. And leadership is lonely, so it's one of those where really, really fortunate. And you can always name someone a captain, doesn't mean they're a captain. It's their actions and it's what they do to actually go and live that out. And like I said, Cal continues to do that every day for us, and just really appreciative of him.
There you go.
What was that process like coming in with there being some captains already decided? You know, how did you handle that coming in?
Yeah, big thing was meeting with the group. I think we met three times as an entire group just that first week that I came in. And it was more meeting with everyone as an entire group first, trying to get some understanding of things, trying to pick guys' brains, letting them have a say in some stuff. And then being able to sit down with guys individually, and then getting the leadership group that I met with when I had my interview, and getting them in a room. And fortunate enough, had the time to be able to, again, just be around them a lot and invest in them a lot. And in kind of the 3 weeks we had before the semester ended was just about building relationships. That's all it was about, was really trying to get to know them and not say too much, but sit back and listen and observe a lot. And at the end of it was one of those where kind of decided, okay, this is, we'll talk to the group again about who they feel is inside their locker room as a leader, but ultimately it's also going to be about what the staff is looking at. And in August, making some final additions and some things with some of those. But it was just a process more about listening and observing more than anything, getting perspective from them. I think that was probably the biggest thing, most important aspect I personally felt to start those relationships off with everyone.
I'm gonna trace back to this weekend's game, but with all credit to them, I mean, George Washington's defense was pretty strong in that game. They're very strong just overall. What adjustments did you make, or what did you see that helped you kind of break down that brick wall?
Yeah, I think when we went 1-0 down, obviously we were pretty frustrated, and we kind of were going away from what we wanted to on the field, and we had talked about it at halftime, and then honestly I think we kind of slowly built ourselves back into the game, and guys were getting more confidence, and then when you get more confidence, then maybe you're more willing to take risks. And then, you know, we started playing some riskier passes in the final third, and eventually those are going to pay off if there are quality guys behind them. So I think, yeah, it just comes down to the confidence of the team, and then kind of just playing with a little more creativity. Yeah,
I would say it's, you know, they didn't really test their goalkeeper too much before you know, the goals started coming in. So we were getting there, getting to good spots, but, I mean, they were sitting so deep. They had so many numbers behind the ball that it was hard to break down.
Right.
And so, yeah, we just started to pull the trigger more, and that led to good results for us.
Yeah, usually the more shots you take, the more goals you score. Yeah.
Obviously, Seth, you're in graduate school and you're a health science major. You know, how do you guys balance, you know, being an athlete on top of being a student still and still maintaining, you know, good grades still?
I'll let you
go. it's challenging for sure. I mean, definitely in the sciences, you know, you got labs and stuff that you got to make up, which is sometimes tough, but it's kind of just part of the fun, honestly. Like, I don't know if there's ever a time where we get, like, a, you know, hours where we just got nothing, but maybe the grad students, but yeah. But yeah, it's definitely a lot, but I think that's kind of what you sign up for when you choose to be a student athlete at school, or if you're lucky enough to play this level. Like, away trips are tough. Even just a day trip where you're maybe missing two classes, I mean, it can be 2 hours of class time that you're missing that you have to make up. So it's definitely challenging, but again, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak on having to go for your time. My schedule's a little lighter, but I will say, like, I think how you do one thing is how you do everything. So I prepare, you know, myself for soccer games. I prepare for training, so I prepare for school as well. You know, study, read, and kind of get excited for the school too, because you know you're going to go to class, so you might as well look forward to it.
Yeah, fair enough.
And both being humble, because both are academic all region last year.
You guys could have mentioned that.
Yeah. both are being humble for sure, but we have two different regions, but two academic all region guys sitting in here as well. So
there you go.
They've produced both on the field and off.
Yes, you don't really have to worry about it. You guys got it. But I asked Coach last week. But is there anything maybe you want to say to the fans, the people who come out to support you? How much do they mean? How much is like having a home crowd there? And maybe the fans that aren't coming out, give them a reason why they should come out and watch some soccer or football, whatever you want to call it.
We're excited. I think you look at the goals, just the amount of goals we scored at home, and in general this season, we're a fun team to watch. Even when we lose, we're always fighting, we're always competing. You're never just going to see us, give up. So I think you come out and watch, no matter what the result is, you're going to have a good time supporting us and trying to make it worth your while.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just along the same lines, obviously, there's big sports in the U.S. and soccer is growing, but maybe it's not quite there yet. But I think anyone that's ever come to a game that I've talked to, they've always really enjoyed it, and maybe they think they weren't going to, but then you get in that crowd and all the fans are, whether they're chanting or just kind of clapping or whatever they're doing and yelling at the other team most of the time. But
that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, it definitely helps us. But I think everyone just enjoys it, and I think people sometimes just have to give it a chance, and then maybe they come back, bring their friends, whatever it is. It just keeps growing.
I wanted to change subject a tiny bit. The catapult system, is that what you guys use?
We're using player data now. Player data.
For that, how do you guys use that both as a coaching staff as well as players for your own individual insights?
I'll be interested to see what they say first.
I usually look at the top speed. Usually for, mean talents, not the highest. That's the training, games we ramp it up, but it's a great system. I mean, it shows a lot. Kind of shows all the stuff behind the scenes that, and you can look at it how much did we run when we lost this game? How much did we run when we lost when we won? So obviously, there's other factors into it, but it's interesting. It's just a metric that you can look at. So.
Yeah, I mean, kind of just adding there's no hiding when you're on those things. If you're not running, it's going to know, and then the coach is going to know, and you might be in trouble. But I think it's always interesting to see kind of who's running, what their speeds are, and then we can have a laugh about it, but it's also important to know what you need for training, and if you've had a heavy workload, then you're maybe doing a little bit of extra treatment, and just preparing yourself properly for practices and games.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly nailed it. It's one of those where you guys have seen in our system, you won't fit in if you don't want to run, and if you don't want to cover ground in and out of possession. So it gives us that data, and the best part about data is if you use it correctly, there's never going to be an opinion on it. It's just black and white. It's there. It's for everyone to see. And it's not to call anyone out. It's not to be able to make anyone feel bad. It's just there for us to be able to use as another tool. And some of the big things that we're really trying to use it for is some of the top speed stuff, making sure that we at least get a few stimulus in each week that they hit that, so that they can continue to increase, looking at the overall load when we're talking about in games, and then what we might need to adjust or what recovery things might need to happen behind it, and then as well trying to just make sure each day it matches up with what we've tried to set out in training sessions as a staff. And the intensity and what they think of it with the RPE of how intense it is, it matches of what we were trying to go for, and making sure we're not overdoing it, but we're hitting them enough with what they need to then go continue to stay fit and be able to perform at the high level of what we're asking for. So we're fortunate. We love it. It's a great system. It's a new system. I'd used Catapult for the basically the last 10 years prior. Right. So it was a little an adjustment into it, but it's been wonderful, and I think it's been really helpful for all of us to be able to use and see. And then as well, just again, making sure that we're getting guys into certain areas, and we're not hopefully overusing their bodies too much when it comes to it. And the demands are always high, but trying to have a little bit of flexibility too, especially in the recovery side.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I mean, the training must be paying off. I got another kind of basic question for you. I'm sorry, but obviously right now, you know, you lead the team in goals. What kind of goes into your preparation and like your performance that has led you to that point?
I mean, yeah, I got to give a lot of credit to my teammates. Guys like Cal set me up.
Right.
I remember one that he put on a plate that I finished against Canisius. So, yeah, I mean, just getting into the right areas. I do some visualizations before games, just, you know, picture myself scoring goals. And I think if you see something, it's more likely to happen. But, yeah, you know, guys setting me up, team getting into good spots, I think that's... Oh, sorry, the coaching staff is wrong. For sure.
We don't do anything.
You know, trusting that, you know, I can come through when it matters.
Right. Yeah. You know, you said it last time, but you said, like, they're all very humble. You're very humble. I'm hearing it right now.
It's a blue-collar group.
Right.
It's a blue-collar group for sure. And they are more about each other than anything else. And I think that's why we have such a special group and they have such a special bond. It's continuing to just be about what they can do for one another and the enjoyment of just having moments with each other as they go throughout each day, throughout each session, games, travel, whatever it might be. We're special, a special group because of that bond that they've created and that they continue to cultivate. And like I said, blue collar to its core for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear.
You know, minus, of course, you know, the new coaches and transfers coming in, how much has this program changed under Mick now? And I know it's only been, you know, half the first season, so, you know, but how much have things changed?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously going to be a lot of changes with the new coach. I think it's more about the team's attitude, you know, like... obviously Mick is super positive and loves to kind of get the best out of guys, so it's kind of his style, and I think guys have really just taken to that, and I think you could ask any returner and, you know, they're pushing themselves this year, and maybe guys that maybe hadn't have played as much in the past couple of years, like, they're coming out this year and they're filling spots that, you know, we need them to fill, and I think just everyone's kind of bought in to what we're trying to do and kind of moving forward, like, as a program and just continuing what we've started to build here. And then hopefully after, you know, we've moved on, and there's none of us here for very long, but after we moved on and kind of what we leave behind with Mick and, you know, new guys coming in, we kind of set the standard for them, and then hopefully they just keep carrying it forward. And, you know, like, anything could happen in a season, so you never know. Like, this year we could make a crazy run and do amazing, and then, you know, like, it's the foundation built for everyone coming after us, so that's the goal.
Yeah. Anything can happen, like you said. But your next game, do you guys leave tomorrow or tonight?
We'll leave tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're heading there tomorrow, non-conference game, kind of one of those weird ones in the middle of conference play. I guess, what do you expect out of them without giving away anything? Again, what adjustments are you going to make, or what's the kind of game plan for this one?
The Cleveland State, they're footballing side for sure. They want to be on the ball. They want to use the ball to try and manipulate it and see what they can do. And it's very easy to look at the record and go, they haven't won many games, but you also need to pay attention to the loss column. They haven't lost many games either.
Yeah.
They found a lot of positive draws, and they found a lot of results that they've clawed their way to with some good football action. So we know we're going there to have a big test. We're going there to play a group that believes in themselves and that believes that they can do what they want in their game model and their identity. So it's just about all of us making sure we stay on the same page, have a good identity of what we're trying to do. Knock on wood, we keep guys healthy and we get guys some minutes and get guys some runouts, you know, talking about the stimulus of what some of them need, and maybe some guys that haven't had as much work and as much of a workload trying to get them in there as well to continue to fire everyone along so we can get a positive result there and then get an off day and come back and prepare for Rhode Island on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it is a non-conference game for all of you guys, does the mentality change at all because it's non-conference, or is it still you're showing up and giving that 110% like you would in every game?
Yeah, I'll go first and then turn to the boys. And the way we look at it as a staff, you want to win everything. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, there's a lot of talk right now in college soccer of, well, this is a must win or you need to win that or anything. The way we look at it as staff is every single game is a must win, and not in the aspect of like, oh, well, yeah, duh, that makes sense. It's about building a culture of competitiveness to be able to have a culture of excellence. And right now, as we build a culture of competitiveness, that means we need to go out and compete for every single thing and every single point, every single win. All of it means a lot to our guys and to our program. So, you know, we look at it and we expect wins. We expect to find success. And that's just because they have confidence knowing they've done the work and they're prepared and they know that they're going to go do the work during the game. So, I can say we certainly don't, we don't look at it any differently. Certain guys may get other opportunities. We might have to rotate pending some knocks and stuff, but it's about going and winning and building that culture of what we've talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a mindset thing. It's another game at the end of the day. I mean, yeah, conference is, you know, at the front of our minds, but our next challenge, the next moment, is Cleveland State. So we got to look at that and take, you know, attack it head on. It's another opportunity to stack wins together, maybe build some momentum. So yeah, it's important for the group to, you know, I mean, I want to have the best game of the season, and that's another opportunity to do that. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, just like kind of what both of them said, but I mean, we take everything, we talk a lot about it, but we take everything one step at a time. So, like, this next game, even though it's not a conference, I mean, we're going to go into it the same way. And, you know, guys, obviously, Mix talked about guys, maybe there might be different guys playing, but there's a reason for everyone that's playing that they are playing. And obviously, Mix trusts them enough to put them into games, and, you know, like, as kind of older, maybe older guys on the team, like, trust every guy on that team, every guy on that roster that comes in. And, I mean, you can look at examples from all of our past games, but, I mean, guys that, yeah, again, like, maybe haven't played a lot in past years, like, they're coming into games and they're making a huge impact. I mean, Harry, the last two games he's come in, he's been a beast. And, I mean, I wouldn't want to be defending him. So, it's just, and it's also about giving younger guys opportunities. I mean, I was like, all of us have been there where we haven't been playing a lot, and then your coach gives you an opportunity and anything can happen. And sometimes guys need to get hot, and all it takes is one goal or one good moment for that to happen, and then we go into a conference game on the weekend and they're feeling good, and then it benefits all of us.
Yeah. Kind of to piggyback off that, I won't see, obviously, or talk to you guys before that Rhode Island game. What's the preparation like, kind of having those midweek games? Is it any different than when you have the entire week to kind of prepare?
A little bit, just because of, you know, the bodies and the taxation of it, and we take Wednesdays off. So, you know, we came in on Sunday afternoon, and boys had recovery. We had a bit of film, and some of the guys that needed a little run out had a 60-minute session in early this morning. Getting them into the gym and getting the bodies kind of going between the 2 days, trying to make sure everything's hit from film, gym session, recovery, all of that. And then we obviously play. So Wednesday, being an off day, you kind of lose one of those teaching days as a staff. It's about making sure we hit the most important things and that we can line things up simply for them, both in film and on the field, to go be successful on the weekend. And then again, it's using these monitors and using our GPS data to try and make sure we're not hitting too high of a load and that we're allowing them to recover. You know, Thursday is going to be pretty heavy feeling for many of them that get larger minutes tomorrow night. So trying to balance all that out, still have a bit of fun in there, but then make sure we're putting in the work of what we need to do tactically, and then go and be prepared for Saturday.
All right.
I think that's all we have. So, Seth, Callum, thank you guys for joining us. Nick, again, as always, thanks for doing this with us. You guys hit the road tomorrow for a 6 p.m. game at Cleveland State on ESPN+. But for Gavin Watson and Ryan Addio, this has been the second episode of The Bonnies Breakaway on the Bonnies Online Network.